Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the NBA draft will take place Thursday night. Here to give us some insight to it, how he thinks it's going to shake out, and who the stars and who the potential busts are. NetScout basketball managing partner, college and pro basketball scout, Carl Berman joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you today, Carl?
Hey, Jody. It's all good here.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming on board. Is there any scenario whereby the top three picks in this draft are not the three that we expect them to be, Zion Williamson 1, John Morant 2, and R.J. Barrett 3?
Well, there's always a chance, but I think the chances are very, 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 very slim. Williamson's definitely the number one pick, and from what everyone, you know, is saying, Memphis is going for Morant, and then Barrett heads to New York, which will be a really good spot for him.
Some people have questioned Zion Williamson, not that he shouldn't be the first pick in a draft, but I not only see him as the first pick in a draft, but a chance to be a true superstar player in this league. I happen to be a big fan. Others point to the shortcomings in his game. I think that's not the first time it's ever happened. People want to try and overanalyze and nitpick a guy's talent. Not comparing Zion Williamson to the others in this draft, but the other guys who have come out as top draft picks over the last 5 years, 10 years, how does he compare? How does he stand up to the other top players as they were rated before they ever set foot on an NBA floor?
Yeah, I think Williamson's a generational talent. You don't really see someone with his package of abilities and his size. I mean, he's really about 6'6". And he weighs, last weight on him was 272. And he's so wide. He creates so much space inside, and his jumping ability is you know, off the boards, and his quick jumping ability is really quick. He'll get up for second and third jumps extremely quickly, you know, and he's developing more of his game as he goes along. You know, his shot's not bad. You know, I could see him being a decent three-point shooter down the road, not right away. But, yeah, I think you don't see a guy like him. And we were trying to compare him to other players, and there really aren't many comparisons. Barkley comes up. Barkley was only like 6'4", and, you know, didn't weigh as much and wasn't as explosive as Williamson. So, yeah, I think he's pretty special.
That's my favorite comparison. That's the one I've been using is Charles, because not only are they somewhat similar in that they were both big framed guys, and neither one of them is 6'9" or 10 or 11 as most NBA players
right.
are now today, but they both, people doubted them coming into their NBA careers. People thought that Charles wasn't going to be able to get in good enough shape, and he wasn't going to be able to. The reason he got the nickname Round Mound of Rebound, he wasn't going to be able to physically dominate the way he did in college. And then he did. As soon as he got to the NBA, he dropped a couple of pounds, but he kept all his toughness, and he was a physically dominating player. I think Zion Williamson's game is going to fit just fine. Who is going to stop his power game in the NBA on the defensive end?
Yeah, and NBA is a different game now also. There are fewer true power centers. You know, there's the Haytons and Dwight Howards, but there aren't a lot of them. So, you know, his ability to score inside, you know, it might be limited somewhat because of the size, but, you know, there isn't as many true centers to stop him. His more, you know, his challenge might be more on the defensive end. You know, who's he going to defend? Is he quick enough to guard, you know, a three? Can he, you know, is he strong enough? Probably is to guard a four. But it's more of a defensive challenge, I think, for him than an offensive challenge. I think offensively he'll come in and he'll do really, really well. And as he gets further along in his career and he develops more of an outside shot, he'll get even better, which is kind of scary.
I agree wholeheartedly. Carl Berman, NetScout basketball managing partner, college basketball pro scout here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, speaking of comps, you got one for John Morant?
Russell Westbrook, maybe. I'm not a big comp guy. You're always kind of stretched to find, you know, the right guy. But I think his game is similar to what Westbrook's was when Westbrook first came out. He's very quick, speedy. He doesn't have the best shot right now. Sees the court really, really well. Super athletic. So, you know, maybe a Westbrook when Westbrook first came out.
Fair enough. That might not be a bad comp. If he is Russell Westbrook, Memphis should be good. Do you think Memphis is going to try and play he and Mike Conley in the backcourt together, or will Conley be marketed and potentially dealt before the season ever starts?
I think they'll probably try to market Conley and see what they can get for him, and just leave Morant in the backcourt to start. It's possible they might keep Conley if they don't get the right deal. But I think they'll want to trade him, and you know he's a guy at the top of his game, so they should be able to get quite a pretty good haul, you know, from him.
If Zion, Ja Morant, and R.J. Barrett are the top three picks, and probably in that order, how big is the drop off between number three and number four in your eyes?
I think it's a pretty big drop off, but not huge. I think the next group of guys are like the Jared Culvers from Texas Tech, DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, and the two guards, Darius Garland from Vanderbilt and Kobe White from North Carolina. I think those four generally, you know, most people have in the next, and also Reddish from Duke. I think those five generally are thought to be the, you know, four through eight picks.
Right.
And it's a drop off, but not a huge drop off. But, you know, again, you know, everybody always asks me in the NBA, you know, who's going to come in and play and be a double figure guy right away. And generally there aren't a lot. So I think when you get past the first three guys, the next group of guys might not be, you know, double figure first year guys. You know, it might take them a little time to get going.
All right. I have a specific opinion about one team, and I'm talking college, players heading off into the NBA draft. I think the Tar Heels are probably going to get three guys drafted in this upcoming draft. In most mock drafts, they're in a specific 1-2-3 order. I happen to like them in the exact opposite order. I'm a Cameron Johnson fan first. I certainly think Nasir Little's going to be a real nice player. And I think Kobe White is vastly overrated, if you're right, and he's going to go in the top eight picks in the draft. For me, I would draft Johnson 1. I know he's a little older, but he can step right in and make NBA threes. Little a little bit better than White, and White no better than third. Why do most teams have the order White, then Little, then a pretty good drop-off to Johnson?
Yeah, well, some of it is workouts and who performed better during, you know, the workouts, but White really has been shooting up the charts. You know, athletically, he's decent, not the greatest athlete, but really good size, 6'5", and you know, aggressive offensively. So, you know, for a team that wants a scoring point guard, he has a really good, you know, he can shoot right now, and he can play kind of with a Devin Booker if Phoenix goes for him. That would be kind of a logical pick for them. And he's got a really, really good upside. Johnson, you know, I like him too. But again, you know, when the guys are a little older, then, you know, their value goes down. And, you know, he has a shot being he has a size to be a 2-3 and has a decent, you know, shot and range to make it.
Yeah,
Little's an interesting guy because, you know, he was so highly rated out of high school and never really got on with North Carolina. He never really, you know, never got into the starting lineup really and never really showed what he can do. So a lot of the NBA guys look at him as kind of an undervalued guy because he didn't show well in his only season. You know, if he had come out last year, if he were eligible to, if we were able to come out right out of high school, he might have been a top five pick. And now, you know, you're looking at him in the teens. So, you know, guys think he's a good value.
Fair enough. Speaking of undervalued, a guy I warmed up to big time during the year and then absolutely fell in love and said, well, everybody else is going to love him now. And it really hasn't played itself out is Carson Edwards of Purdue. I thought he had a great regular season, stone cold point guard scorer that can just fill it up from three. He goes nuts in the NCAA tournament. I said, well, he's played himself into the first round now because he had been second round material in a lot of mocks I've seen. I still see him sitting in the second round in certain individuals' mock drafts. I get it, he's only 6 feet tall, but isn't he like the best shooting guard in this, just pure shooter in this upcoming draft?
Yeah, and you look at someone like Fred VanVleet, and we missed on him. I never thought he was going to be an NBA guy. You know, I never thought he would be a rotation guy. And look at what he did in the finals. And you look at him and you look at Carson Edwards, and they're pretty similar in size and build. You know, Edwards is you know, he's small, but he's stocky.
Yep.
And he's very long. I feel his wingspan is, I think it's 6'5". Or 6'7". So, you know, he's got a long wingspan, so that makes up for some of his, you know, height deficiency. And the kid can score. So, yeah, I have him in the 20s right now. ESPN, I think, has him at 34. But I see him as a first-round guy, especially now in the NBA when you look at VanVleet and what he could do and what he did in the finals.
I think
that'll help.
I'm with you. I think he deserves to be in the first round.
Yeah, for sure.
Who is going to be the best defensive player in this draft?
Yeah, everybody looks at Matisse Thybulle from Washington, and he's primarily getting drafted, will get drafted based on his defensive ability. He just generates a lot of steals. He's a great on-ball defender. He's really long, and his offense really isn't there. So you know, most have him in the first round. We have him in the 20s, I think, and ESPN has him 24, and he's just getting drafted based on his defensive ability. So I'd say it's him.
All right, fair enough. How international a flavor is this draft going to be? Again, this is where I lean on guys like you and others who know the international players. We don't get a chance to see them. We know the college basketball town, but we're guessing and hoping. Last year, of course, Luka Doncic went as high as he did. I know we have no internationals. They're going to play up that high, but is this a good international draft, an okay international draft, or a mediocre international draft?
Yeah, it's pretty mediocre on the international side. I remember two years ago I tweeted it was the most international players drafted in the first round, and it was the most ever overall. And this year it's pretty light. I think there's definitely two first-round picks, maybe a third. Sekou Doumbouya, who plays in France now, he's a 6'9", wing, very talented, very athletic. He's likely the first international drafted. We have him going to the Wizards at number 9. And again, he's someone who's not going to come in and play right away, but you know, he has a really high potential. The best center is Goga Batadze, and he's originally from the Republic of Georgia, and we have him as a possible lottery, probably a little bit after that. But he's 6'11", 250-pound center, who's really been productive in Europe. He's averaging a double-double at a high level, and has a lot of skill for his size and his age. So we like him a lot. And then the other one that might get drafted in the first round is Luka Samanic from he's playing for Olympia in Slovenia. And he's another 6'11 kid who can step out and shoot threes, more of a stretch four type. And, you know, we've been looking at him for a few years, and he's been kind of up and down in his career, but he's only 19, and he's got a chance of getting drafted towards the end of the first round.
All right, one more particular player who I got enthused with during the season, and then he played well in the tournament, and I thought, okay, he improved his stock. He was one of those borderline, might be drafted, might not be drafted. Is it a given that the big kid from Florida State, Taco Fall, is going to get taken, from Central Florida, I mean?
No, it's very questionable. You know, he's an interesting guy, and I think someone might take him just because, obviously, his size is... His length is, you know, his measurements were like records at the combine this year. No one's ever been that tall and that long from a wingspan perspective. The thing hurting him is that, you know, from being able to keep up with NBA quickness and the speed of the game, you know, going to a 24-second shot clock, having to run up and down the court all the time, I don't know whether he can keep up. But I think someone's going to take him, and, you know, later in the second round probably, just to see if they can get him into shape where he can play, you know, a reasonable amount of minutes.
All right, last thing, and thanks for the Taco Fall read. Specific pick with the fourth selection in the NBA draft, the New Orleans Pelicans. We know they've got the number one. We all believe they're going to take Zion Williamson. We know the players they just added from the Lakers in the deal and what they've still got on their roster after trading Anthony Davis. Will they be affected by how their roster looks, where they go here? Because you mentioned it's a group of five in that next group, and they're all pretty close after a drop-off after three. Who's New Orleans going to take with the fourth pick?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, some of the guys have him going with one of the point guards. I don't really see that. I think ESPN has him going with Darius Garland. I've heard Kobe White's name in there. But since they like Holiday, so they're going to keep him. Drew Holiday's going to stay there. They like Lonzo Ball. So, you know, they basically already have a point guard, assuming that, you know, they are going to go with Ball and Holiday as well. They can play both positions. I don't really see him going for a point. I have him with DeAndre Hunter for Virginia. I think he's probably the next best fit for him. But at the same time, they're going to try to package that pick and possibly see what they can get for it.
Makes some sense. Should lend itself to some fun on Thursday night. Call Good Insights. We appreciate you hopping on board. Have a good time on Thursday night. Thanks for a couple minutes here today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.